This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
Listening to Catholic Weekend, episode number 285 for the week ending Saturday, August 15th, 2015. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Catholic Weekend. I am Jeff Nielsen, also known as Captain Jeff, and joining me from Montana is the great Father Corey Stika.
Well, howdy, y'all. I don't know about great, but
hey,
maybe pretty good. That might work.
Well, you're great to me. It's because if without you, I'd be by myself on today's show. So you're really high up there in my book.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Latitude-wise, definitely.
Yes, you are. Yeah. And emotionally and spiritually and all that. Lots of highs there. Yeah. We need the Three Stooges sound effects, except for we don't have Three Stooges, Mike.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm reading some of the comments in the chat room, the peanut Laurel gallery.
Hardy? No.
Yeah. Hey, Abbott and Costello.
Yeah, exactly.
So, well, hello, Father. How are you?
Oh, doing well, doing well. Unlike last week, I didn't have to travel halfway across the countryside. I other than doing my weekend masses, I didn't have to go anywhere. So that was actually kind of nice. Didn't have to leave town.
Well, and Steve, we talked about it on last week's episode, is, I think on Friday is when he was starting his big mm-hmm. vacation adventure, and I'd asked Father Corey if he had seen Steve go by on the train, but I guess that's not going to occur until tomorrow.
Right. Yeah. He's getting on the train this afternoon or tomorrow afternoon, Sunday afternoon. So actually it's Monday. So it's 2 days. I forgot what day it was. It's in 2 days that he'll be coming through.
Oh, okay. Okay. So. And so you're not going to be there to like, you know, have one of those flags or whatever they do in the movies. As he's going through
Way
the station.
I'm, you know, have some beer for him or something. No, unfortunately not.
Does the, I guess, go ahead.
Oh, I'm going to be actually going down to driving again back to Gray Falls, but this time for a kind of a priest retreat get together, kind of informal, bunch of priests are getting together to just kind of hang out and hopefully do some prayer and kind of get away from the world and masses and all that kind of good stuff, you know. So it should be a good, hopefully very restful week. Very much need that right about now. So
you're saying it's kind of a boondoggle then?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. It's been a while since I've been to Great Falls. I think I've talked about the hotel we used to stay in Great Falls, the O'Hare Motor Inn.
Oh, yes.
And but I remember that the town is a very nice town, and I would imagine they probably have some good watering holes there.
Oh, yes. Actually, there are now 4 breweries in the Great Falls area. There's one I just found out about, actually. It's kind of interesting. There's actually a company out of Spokane that has a mobile cannery for breweries. So they bring in their brewery truck, basically, or their cannery truck, and they can beers for these different breweries.
Wow.
And just happened to find out about it because they had some of the beers at the our local convenience store, our local beer supply store. And it was kind of interesting. I didn't know that this brewery even existed. And all of a sudden, oh, gee, well, I'll have to go check it out. And it's a half a mile from where we're staying. Well, I guess we'll definitely have to get there.
Interesting. A portable canning operation.
Yeah. They come in, like I said, they've got all the canning equipment on the truck. And then they use like the shrink wrap plastic labels to actually label the beer. So it's much easier to print than doing the can.
So Lynn is doing the show notes. She goes, beer again. We seem to talk about it on every show. Yeah. Men, beer.
We like beer.
Speaking of beer and alcoholic beverages, unfortunately, Sarah is not with us today. I'm not sure why, but I did notice that she made some tweets on the Twitters about some kind of a talk that she had over at the Cathedral of Christ the King.
Excellent.
And so she was talking about that subject amongst the folks there. I don't know what the official event was called, but there were several snapshots of her with some of the participants. Looked like they were all having a great time at the cathedral.
Excellent.
Yeah. So, and then I'm not sure where Maria is. She must be traveling somewhere. So we miss Maria as well. So, yeah. And then I've been just busy flying as I am wont to do and, have a couple days off here. I just got back from a 4-day trip, Tuesday through Friday, I think, or no, it was Monday through Thursday. So I had yesterday off and then today and tomorrow, and then back out on a 3-day Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Kind of busy here because my kids are, well, my youngest two, are getting ready to, head out back to either back to or college for the first time. Natalie is heading to Elon University, later this week.
Oh, wow.
With mom. And then I'm going to be driving a U-Haul down to Orlando to bring some of the bulky items that Chris needs for his new apartment that he's sharing with his roommates down there. So,
oh, you provide moving services? We might have to talk.
No, yeah. Well, I guess I do. I was told that I will be driving this. I was kind of looking forward to going, you know, with Natalie and moving her into the university there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we can only be at one place at a time. We don't have any bi-location skills.
Yeah, I haven't developed that one either, so understandable.
Yeah. So I got some things to do to cars, some oil changes and that kind of thing this weekend to get their vehicles all up to snuff.
Fun.
Yeah, yeah. Part of being a dad. So, let's see, what else? What's going on in the news? Anything interesting? It's kind of slow, it seems.
Yeah, this week's been kind of slow, which is a good thing. After some of the stuff that's been going on last few weeks, it's actually kind of nice to have a quieter week.
Yeah. Well, it is. It is very nice to have a quieter week. So I'm thinking maybe we could spice this thing up and do some kind of a quiz. You want to do that Eucharist quiz?
We can do that.
All right. Let's get over here and play the introduction to the Catholic Weekend Quiz of the Week. All right. And this week's quiz, I'm trying to find the window. There it is. is actually the Eucharist Challenge number 2, apparently, from Catholic Link, which you can find at en.catholic-link.com. We'll have a link to this in the show notes. And let's see. Question number 1. The change of the entire substance of the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ is called... Oh, come on. This is an easy one.
Yeah.
So we could do the old sound effect. Actually, the ticking, like Jeopardy. And I think we're ready already. The choices are consubstantiation, transubstantiation, Eucharistic adoration, or consecration.
It's transubstantiation.
Yes, it is. Very good. And I'm surprised that you know that.
That was good. Well, you know, I've studied once or twice. So. And that's about all I did at seminary, but once or twice is enough.
Oh, you're not hearing the sound effects. I'm sorry. No, you are. Okay.
Yeah, I hear them.
Okay. Yeah, you might have had a course or two on that, and you might actually participate in this mystery like every day.
On occasion. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like to do it once in a while just to keep my skills sharp, you know.
Now, I come from a Lutheran background, and we didn't have transubstantiation. We had consubstantiation.
Right.
In other words, that Jesus was there along with the bread and the wine, but not becoming the bread and the wine.
Exactly. Exactly. And it, as I understood it, that Lutherans, once the service is over, Jesus isn't there anymore, so you can just put the bread and wine back into the sacristy.
Yeah, we didn't think anything of that. You know, that was, but now I'm thinking, you know, now that I know the doctrine, the Catholic doctrine on the Eucharist, and I'm thinking, oh my, it's like I'm horrified that we did that, you know, but that's exactly the belief system. So very similar, but not quite the same. Not going the full 100%.
Exactly.
So once the body and the blood, or the bread and the wine, is transubstantiated into the body and blood of Christ, that they remain that way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I have the Eucharist at Mass, and I eat the bread, and then it goes into my digestive system. At what point is it not the body and blood of Christ?
Basically, they often say that when it's no longer recognizable as bread,
okay,
and wine. And that's why, you know, you can, if it's a case too, where let's say a host corrupts, it becomes moldy, it gets burned, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
At the point it's no longer recognizable as bread, it is no longer considered the Eucharist. And actually, that's why when you're to dispose of a host, if there's a host that for some reason you need to get rid of, let's say because it got moldy or because it's just old or whatever, and you just want to get rid of it, you actually dissolve it in water. You let it sit for several days in water until it dissolves.
Oh, okay.
So instead of just, you know, instead of just burying the host or something like that.
Okay.
You just dissolve it in water, then you pour the water out on the ground.
Okay. And then I guess if there is like a spilling of the blood of Christ, the wine, which is now the blood of Christ, I guess if you dilute it with a bunch of water, then eventually it just becomes non-recognizable as...
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. That's the same thing.
Okay.
And that's, again, you know, when you... One thing I think a lot of parishes have forgotten, I know it's not done here, is you should... The purificators, you know, the cloths that you use to wipe the chalices,
mm-hmm,
should actually be diluted in water, or put in water until the wine dilutes out of it. The precious blood dilutes out of it for that reason.
And not just thrown into the laundry or something.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. And actually, you know, I was just thinking of this too. There have been, a priest has to actually be careful with the water and the wine. You know, when they do the little bit of water in it,
mm-hmm,
because if you put too much water, if there's more water than wine, then it's invalid. It can't become the Eucharist.
And usually you just put like a drop or so of water.
Yeah. Right? Just a drip, a little splash, you know, nothing. It shouldn't even be an issue, though. Yeah. Sometimes it could be, you know, it accidents happen, or mm-hmm, you don't put enough wine in. You know, I've done that before where there's just a tiny, tiny bit of wine in the bottom. Go, okay, I'll be very careful here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like a tiny little drop of water.
Just a drip. And that's why they used to have what they call them, they're commonly known as scrupulosity spoons, where they take this little spoon, almost looks like a little ladle, tiny little ladle, and just drip a little bit, you know, just enough for just a drip of water.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they would make sure that they wouldn't dilute the wine too much.
Scrupulosity. Isn't that something that you usually hear about when you're talking about the sacrament of reconciliation?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's the same idea. It's taking, you know, a care for the holy things and going just a little bit too far. Scrupulosity in confession is seeing sin everywhere. You know,
there is a theory that Martin Luther suffered from scrupulosity, and that's why he had so much of a problem with the sacrament, and he never ever felt like he was completely absolved.
Yeah.
So
exactly, I've heard that as well. I've heard that as well.
Interesting theory. I would imagine as a priest, you probably kind of experience that occasionally. People that just convinced that they cannot be forgiven.
You know, yeah. And it's not even so much they can't be forgiven as they see the most innocuous things as full-blown sins.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just kind of a silly example. I haven't heard this one confession, but just silly example off the top of my head. Well, I was tempted to steal a candy bar from the convenience store, and I even had the candy bar in my hand, ready to put in my pocket. I didn't do it, but I was tempted, and I was going to do it. you know, and that's, I sin by just by the action of picking up. No, but people take it that seriously, where things that are truly innocuous actions, truly, they're not sinful. Maybe they could lead to sin if mm-hmm. you allow them to, temptations, things like that. And then just normal daily life. You know, they take it almost to the point of that it's sinful.
Yeah.
I didn't love my neighbor because I didn't say hi to him when they walked in the door at the coffee shop, you know, something like that.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting. All right. Well, let's move on to question number two. When did Jesus give priests the power to change bread and wine into his body and blood? I know this one. The choices are when he said to the apostles, "This is my body, which will be given for you. Do this in memory of me." Or when he said to the apostles, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Or three, when he said to them, "Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And finally, when he said to them, "The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least, for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" So I guess we could do the sound effect again, the ticking. Here we go. So again, when he said to the apostles, "This is my body, which will be given for you. Do this in memory of me." When he said, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them," blah, blah, blah. And when he said, so I think we know the answer to this one, don't we?
Yep.
It is the first one, right?
The words that we say, that the priest says at every Mass, "This is my body, which will be given for you. Do this in memory of me."
They're going to do this in memory of me. So in other words, that's what he's directing them. Do this.
Yep. Yep, okay. Exactly.
Well, here's a good one. And one that we have to think about every time we go to a Mass, and, you know, whether or not we're prepared for receiving communion. We should not receive communion if we are conscious of grave sin, we have not fasted for at least an hour before receiving, or we are not Catholic. The second choice, if we come late to Mass, did not sing any of the songs, and did not offer the sign of peace. A lot of people would not receive communion if that were the case.
Yeah.
Let's see, number three, we don't fully understand the mystery of the Eucharist. Who does? And finally, if we have grave sin or we are not Catholic. So the difference between the first and the fourth, we are conscious of grave sin. We have not fasted for at least an hour before receiving, or we are not Catholic. Or if we have grave sin or we are not Catholic. So they're kind of similar. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking that that's probably one or the other of those.
Mm-hmm. You mean it's not, you came late to Mass.
Oh yeah. Wait a minute. You're right. It is that one.
You know, if you're doing that, you should become, no. here's a hint. That's not it.
Yeah. Yeah. So of course, as we know, the answer is the first answer, which is we are conscious of grave sin. We have not fasted for at least an hour before receiving. By the way, I'm a new Catholic, only been Catholic for about 15 years. I still mm-hmm. feel new, but I'm not a cradle Catholic. But many of you remember back, I don't know how many years ago it was, but there was a 24-hour fast.
Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't 24 hours. It was from midnight the night before.
Oh, okay. Not
that
24.
Night. So that's why all the Masses were like at 5 o'clock, at 6 o'clock in the morning, so everybody could go to Mass and then eat right at, have breakfast afterwards.
Or maybe people at 11 o'clock, 11:30, like just stuffing their faces with food.
Yeah, exactly. I know that happened too, believe me. You hear the Friday stories of people who are going out having a cheeseburger at midnight, you know.
Or just before midnight.
Yeah. And by the way, when it comes to that hour fast, that does include coffee.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. That. I guess you could have water if it's necessary to take medication or something.
Well, water's fine. Okay. Water's always permissible. Water okay. will never break. That's one rule that they changed that I think was smart, to put it frankly. Water is permissible. Medication, obviously, is as necessary. But anything else? No. Gum? No. I've had people come up to me in the communion line chewing gum, and I've had to refuse to give them communion because – Yeah. If you're chomping on gum, you're not going to receive Jesus. I'm sorry. You know?
Yeah. I see. That's so distracting. I was at an early mass a couple of weeks ago and I saw this young lady in the front row and she's just like smacking away with her gum. And I'm thinking, what are you going to do with the gum? Like yeah. When it comes time to,
oh, just put it in her cheek like a chipmunk, you know? Unfortunately, I know people have done that too. And of course, you know, so just to, so everybody, just in case they missed it, it is conscious of grave sin, have not fasted for an hour, and are not Catholic. You should abstain from receiving communion. I know there's a lot of people in the church who want those who are not Catholic to receive, but we're not in communion. We're not in union with. Mm-hmm. So that's why we cannot allow non-Catholics to receive.
Right. It's not because we're being mean or we're being exclusive. It's just that basically going up to receive the Eucharist, you're physically acknowledging that you believe everything that the church teaches and believes. And if you are, let's say, a Lutheran and you don't believe in transubstantiation, that's why we don't want you to receive the Eucharist, because you're not in line with the same beliefs.
Exactly.
So. And the same thing goes the other way around. If you're Catholic and you go to another church's communion service, you are not supposed to partake of that either, because again, you're basically saying by your actions that you believe what they believe about it.
Yep. Even if they invite you, you're not supposed to do that. So.
Right. And that was, you know, one of those things that was kind of tough. Our God daughter was, when we were Lutheran, we were asked to, Linda and I were asked to be godparents of this young lady. And we accepted, of course. And then we were invited to her confirmation. Mm. And, you know, during confirmation, they had communion. And we basically said, oh, we'd love to go, but just know that we're not going to be able to receive communion. And it was kind of awkward. You know, it wasn't a very large setting to kind of get lost in the whole process. It was like a small church. And it was kind of obvious that our whole family of five just kind of moved out of the way and did not received communion. Right. And they kind of thought, I could tell that a lot of people were thinking, what's wrong with our communion?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's not the real thing. Sorry.
Yeah. I should have gotten up there and said, let me explain why we're not. No, that would not have been appropriate. No,
not the time, not the place.
So, yeah, that was interesting. Okay. Getting back to the test. So far we're doing pretty well, I think.
Yep.
This is a good one. How often is a Catholic required to receive Holy Communion, assuming they meet the necessary conditions to be able to receive? So you're not in, you're not conscious of grave sin. You've done the appropriate fast, and what was the other thing? And you're Catholic. Yeah. So how often are we required to receive Holy Communion? The answers are once a year during the Easter season. Every Sunday, holy days, and as often as you can, in addition to those days. That's the second choice. Three, just try to make it a priority. And four, every Sunday. And I think I know the answer to this one, but we'll let Father Corey answer this.
It's once a year during the Easter season.
Okay.
You're only required to receive communion once a year. Obviously, you should do it as often as you can when you're in the state of grace. But yeah, once a year.
Yeah.
That's it.
In their explanation here from ecatholicblog.com, don't confuse receiving communion with going to Mass. We are called to go to Sunday Mass every week. That's a Mass of obligation every Sunday. And then we do have just a handful here in the United States of Masses of obligation during the year. One of which is, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, soon on today's show, the Feast of the Assumption. Yep. And that's a holy day and a holy day of obligation. But I believe
not this year
here in this cycle, because it's so close, it's Saturday and then Sunday, so close to Sunday that they've abrogated, I think this is the term, the obligation to just your Sunday obligation. So anyway,
one thing I like that they put on this answer, it says, this is the bare minimum requirement. We know that anyone who is really seeking Jesus' friendship responds as often as possible to Jesus' personal invitation to the feast. You know, it's important we do receive communion, and we are in the state of grace to receive communion as often as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it is kind of funny that the minimum is just once a year. As long as you do it during Easter, you do your, they call it their Easter duty.
Mm-hmm.
You might hear that term.
I think in today's world, especially here in the United States, it's gone the other way around, where I think there are a lot of people receiving communion that really are not disposed properly for it. And it's just kind of, well, this is part of the service. You know, you go up there and, you know, part of the mass. Yeah. I'm using service as a kind of a derogatory, in a derogatory way. But I think that people are, if they're in mass, they're just assuming they're going to go up, and they're really not thinking whether or not they really should be receiving communion. But anyway, that's another problem.
Exactly.
According to the latest statistics available from the Center for Applied Research for the Apostolate, which is also known as CARA or CARA, yep. What is the percentage of Catholics that believe in the real presence? Ooh, this is going to be not going to be a good one.
No.
The percentage, according to this research, percentage of Catholics that believe in the real presence, 57%. 33%, 78%, or 12%. And, you know, you'd think that it would be 100%. That's what you'd hope for. But then you're thinking, well, it's got to be 78%, but I bet it's not.
Nope.
You know what? I'm afraid, I don't even think it'd be 57%. I'm guessing it's going to be like maybe 33%. Let me see. No?
Well, I'm happy to say you're wrong with 33%, and it definitely isn't 12%. We'd really be in trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
It's 57%, which itself is frankly depressing.
Yeah.
You know, just over half. You know, this is 6 in 10, but I would think it's better just say just over half.
Yeah.
Or just under half of the Catholics, people who profess to be Christian, profess to follow our Lord Jesus in the Catholic Church, don't even believe that he comes to us in the body, blood, soul, and divinity, and is present in the Eucharist. Yeah.
So why do you think that is? What's going on here? Why do people not believe in the real presence?
I think, you know, a lot of it, some of it is bad catechesis, bad teaching. They haven't been truly taught, you know, and I've heard some of it. I've heard priests who all but denigrate any importance to the Eucharist itself. I've seen a skit that was, it was called I gave him Eucharist, and it was all about this kid wanted to go out with his friends, but his brother wanted to play video games. So he sat and played video games and gave him Eucharist. It was serving your neighbor is what they really meant. Oh. By give him Eucharist. You know, it's stuff like that. It's, you know, that's part of it. Mm-hmm. That's going to be part of it. I think part of it is a misunderstanding of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be Catholic. You know, we look at the cultural Catholicism. I mean, these are issues, obviously, I've thought about for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
The cultural Catholicism where, well, I was born into a Catholic family. I was baptized. I was confirmed. I received First Communion. I was married in the church, but have absolutely no clue what it means to be a Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because didn't pay attention to religious ed class, or didn't care, you know, didn't care enough, or think they know better. There's a lot of Catholics who they think their thoughts on what the church should be doing is more important than what the Pope and the bishops and the priests and the 2,000-year teaching of the church says the church should be doing.
Yeah, but, you know, we're so enlightened now. You know, we know better.
Yeah, that's worked out for us in the past.
So Pat says in the chat room, I think the percentage is so low because so many adults in the last generation received such poor catechesis.
Exactly.
They don't know it's a teaching, which is blows my mind.
And Steve, our buddy Steve, says, I think most American Catholics have become so secularized that they might as well be called Protestant.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot to that.
Yeah.
There is a lot to that. I see that every day as a priest where, you know, people will think nothing of traveling halfway across the state of Montana, which if you've been in Montana, that's a long drive. They'll travel halfway across the state of Montana for a basketball tournament, and not even like the official school one, like a pickup one, but they won't drive across town for mass.
Wow.
You know, It's that kind of thing. And believe me, Malta's not a big town. It doesn't take that long to drive across town.
I guess, you know, technically, you know, Protestant, the word is because people were protesting against some of the teachings of, and some of the bad behavior of the church back in that time frame, and legitimately. So I guess what you're saying is that if you're a cafeteria Catholic and you're saying, well, I believe that, and ooh, that looks good today, I'll believe that. But this over here is so opposed to whatever everybody else thinks about in this world that I'm living in now that I don't think I believe it either. And, you know, so you're kind of picking and choosing. And so you're basically protesting against the teachings of the church and you're not accepting all of them.
Exactly. And
so that's why I guess you could, in a way, be considered Protestant.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, I mean, it is so common that says, well, my conscience says, or I think, therefore it is, you know, to take off of.
Like the church, you know, hasn't thought about this and all, you know, Thomas Aquinas and all the brilliant thinkers in the church over these years.
2,000 years of the existence of the church. And suddenly in the year 2015, we're more enlightened than everybody who came before us.
Right.
No, sorry. You think that way, you're fooling yourself. I hate to put it that way, but it's pretty clear. You're fooling yourself.
Right. So, you know, there are things that the church teaches that, you know, some of us, like, you know, converts to the faith, you know, have a little trouble with, you know, accepting and believing, but you just have to do that. You have to trust that if the church is right about this, then they're right about everything. And that's protected by the Holy Spirit. And, you know, this is the institution that was established by Christ, the reason why he came to kind of, you know, tell us about the kingdom and have his successors continue on with this this church. And, and so you have to just kind of realize that maybe over time I'll understand and, you know, why the church believes this and teaches this. You know, it's not necessarily a, oh, I completely understand and I'm completely right, you know, behind it 100%. It's, you know, making the effort to believe what the church believes, right?
Exactly. You know, it's having the humility to say, I could be wrong. You know, I could be wrong. You know, it's, again, looking at the chat room here, we got Cheryl says, how many cradle Catholics stopped learning about the faith after confirmation? Mm-hmm. Most of them, Cheryl. I hate to say that. As a convert, I'm always amazed at how much there is to learn about the faith. It is a constant learning process. She says earning process, but I think she meant learning process. Absolutely. I mean, I still learn. You know, I studied in a seminary for 8 years. I have to study every time I do my homilies, and I still learn. I still learn about the faith. There's still more to grow. I agree with everything the church says and does? Probably not. Am I going to give examples? No.
Good.
You know, that's part of humility is not just accepting it if you don't agree. It's standing up there saying, being willing to say, I accept it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Steve, again, going back to Steve here in the chat room, he says, what a shame it is. I received such joy through following the church teaching, even when I don't fully understand.
Right.
And that's the thing, you know, if people don't get, if you submit yourself to church's teaching on things like the Eucharist or the difficult issues, you know, the sexual issues of the day or whatever it is, there's a joy there. There really is. Yeah, it's hard sometimes, but there's a joy there.
Right.
But people are looking for, what's the song? Looking for love in all the wrong places.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then, you know, talking about understanding that brings me back to question number 3 on this quiz, which was, you know, one of the answers was that you're not supposed to receive Holy Communion unless you fully understand the mystery of the Eucharist. Well, I'm afraid that if all of us fully understood the Eucharist, I mean, or we had to meet that qualification, none of us would be able to receive communion, because I don't think that we can possibly fully understand it as humans.
Mm-mm. No, we can't. And that's the thing people need to remember. We might not understand it. We might not agree. We may not even like what we're hearing, but we have to follow it.
That's right. If you want to call yourself a Catholic, right?
Well, if you want to be a disciple of Christ, because we truly do believe that what the church teaches is the truth.
Yeah.
What Christ revealed as the truth. So it's either you can be right or you can follow Jesus.
Right.
No, I mean,
I'll follow
right
Jesus.
In your own mind, I should say.
Yeah, yeah. Which, and in following Jesus, of course, is the true right.
Exactly.
Okay, which of these terms can be used as a name for the sacrament of the Eucharist? The Eucharist Assembly or Synaxis? Not Snaxis, but Synaxis. The Holy and Divine Liturgy, the Holy Sacrifice, or Holy Communion?
And by the way, Synaxis happens after the Synaxis.
Okay. Ba-doom, bam, where's my rim shot? Oh, well, yep. Don't have it. You need to warn me ahead of time so I'm ready to go with that. Let's see. Is this one of those questions where it's all the above?
Yes, it is.
Okay, because I'm thinking that it looks like they're all.
Yeah, I was kind of scratching my head over this one a little bit. It's like, they all look right. Well, yeah. I'm just going to pick one. It is. It's a trick question. There are correct names. And you can look in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, 1328 to 1332, which will explain each name.
Okay, cool. All right. Number 7, which one of these saints is the only one not to have experienced a miraculous communion?
Wow.
And let's see. St. Gary of Germany, St. Gregory of the Great, St. Gregory, that must be St. Gregory the Great, not yep. of. St. Gerard Magella,
mm-hmm.
St. Teresa of Avila or Avila.
They're having a little bit of fun with this one.
Yeah. Is the only one not to have experienced a miraculous communion. I don't know.
There is no such saint as Saint Gary of Germany.
Oh.
That's why I say they're having some fun with this one.
It's not a real saint. So I don't know who. Who is Saint Gary? Just like somebody they made up?
Yeah, it's okay. Someone they made up, apparently.
Oh, how funny.
Sounded good.
Okay. Number 8, this 11-year-old girl was so overcome with joy upon receiving her first Holy Communion that shortly following she went forever to be in heaven.
Ooh.
Okay. So, wow. Somebody was so overwhelmed with her first communion that she basically died. Blessed Zelie Martin, mm-hmm. Blessed mm-hmm. Imelda Labertini, St. Therese, and mm-hmm. St. Gemma Galgani. I don't know.
I had to guess on this one. Now, Blessed Zelie is related to St. Therese.
Oh.
I think, isn't that her mom?
I'm not sure.
I can't remember. I think it is. But anyways, I had to guess on this one. So do you have a guess?
I cheated and I just clicked away and found out that it was Blessed Imelda Labertini.
Yep. Yeah, I hadn't heard this one.
You want to read that?
Yeah. So answer? It says she desired the Eucharist from a very young age. When she was 11 years old, she was present with the rest of the community at the Ascension Day Mass. All the others had received their communion. Only Imelda was left unsatisfied. She wasn't able to receive. The nuns were preparing to leave the church when some of them were startled to see what appeared to be a sacred host hovering in the air above Imelda as she knelt before the closed tabernacle absorbed in prayer. Quickly, they attracted the attention of the priest, who hurried forward with a paten on which to receive it. In the face of such a miracle, he could not do otherwise than give to Imelda her first communion, which was also her last. For the rapture with which she received her Lord was so great that it broke her heart. She sank unconscious to the ground, and when loving hands upraised her, it was found that she was dead.
Wow.
Very interesting.
It gave me goosebumps.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Wow. Wish that we need to have that kind of faith, huh?
Well, I mean, just shy of that.
Yeah, maybe not to the point of having a heart attack every time we receive communion. I'll grant that one.
Yeah.
But
okay.
To have that desire to receive our Lord.
Yeah, you want. True. I pray for to have that strong of a desire, you know.
Yep.
Too caught up in this world, I think, you know, but exactly. But I try. Tantum Ergo. The Tantum Ergo, which is typically sung at the benediction of the Blessed Sacrament, was written by Mozart, St. Anthony, St. Thomas Aquinas, or St. Augustine. I know the answer to this one. Tantum Ergo, which is a beautiful hymn that we sing at the benediction.
Part of the Pange Lingua, Pange Lingua Gloriosa. and it was written by St. Thomas Aquinas.
Yes, you are great, correct, sir.
The great author of the Summa Theologica.
What did he call himself? The something mule or the something ox?
Well, he was called the dumb ox because he was so big, and it was thought that he was stupid when he was a kid.
Wow.
It was just, he was one of these people. He was so smart, he appeared dumb.
I get that.
I get the, I'm so dumb, I appear smart, but that's another story.
Number 10, which of these is not a fruit of Holy Communion? Unifies us with Christ in the church, commits us to the poor, separates us from our sin, supplies graces to go directly to heaven and avoid time in purgatory. I think that's probably the correct answer there.
I wish it was the last one.
Yeah.
Or I wish the last one was a fruit. It's not.
No.
It supplies the grace to help us get to heaven, but it's not a go. It's not a get out of hell free card.
Darn it.
Those exist. You can order them.
Oh, are they? They're kind of expensive.
You can look online. There's actually a site that has printed up get out of hell free cards.
Oh,
looks just like the Monopoly cards. It's hilarious.
Wow. Okay. Number 11. We're almost there. Just two more to go, including this one. What do we call the part of the Eucharist prayer in which the priest invokes the Holy Spirit? Epiclesis, oblation, anamnesis, or anaphora? Am I pronouncing those correctly?
Yep. You actually did pretty well.
I think it's the epiclesis, but I'm not sure. Okay.
It is. It's the prayer that when the priest holds his hands over the gifts and asks that the Holy Spirit come down upon those gifts. You know, and the prayer usually says something paraphrasing, you know, may the Holy Spirit come down upon these gifts that they may become the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ.
And in some churches, they actually ring the Sanctus bell. Right there.
Exactly. There's one quick ring at that point because, you know, and there's debate in the church whether or not it's that moment or the words of consecration that it truly does become our Lord's body, blood, soul, and divinity. But it's, you know, it's kind of one of those half a dozen, one sixth the other. I mean, it's the Eucharistic prayer itself where it happens. You know, but the Eastern Church tends to lean towards the epiclesis, that moment of asking the Holy Spirit to come down upon them.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. And then finally, this quote, the faithful are to hold the Eucharist in highest honor, worshiping it with supreme adoration, was taken from the Code of Canon Law, number 898, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, number 898, UCAT, which is the Catechism for the Youth, I believe, 898, or Lumen Fidei. Lumen Fidei. I don't know.
I actually got this one wrong. I guessed the catechism. It's not.
Oh.
It's actually within the Code of Canon Law.
Okay.
Which surprises me that something like that would actually be within the code. The code is usually seen as very strict and very practical. And the fact that it talks about, you know, holding the Eucharist and worshiping it with adoration just doesn't sound like Code of Canon Law language to me.
No.
But apparently it is.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Very good. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's quiz on the Eucharist. And I think it's time now for a little Puxitani fill. Yeah, because we haven't taken a break yet, and we're already 44 minutes into this thing. So it's time to thank every single one of you who are supporting our network with your financial contributions. We do appreciate it. If you have been thinking about it, go ahead. Do it now. Head over to sqpn.com, and there you'll find a handy-dandy place to become a friend of SQPN, or you can just go to sqpn.com/donate. And there you can give a monthly amount or a one-time donation to help out the StarQuest Production Network in its efforts in the new evangelization. And you want an easier way to do it, or in addition to your monthly contribution, you can help us out by doing your shopping at Amazon.com. But first, make sure that you click the Amazon link and for your country. And that way, when you do your shopping, nothing will have changed except that we'll get a little bit of the proceeds from the cost of whatever you're buying on Amazon. And we receive, the StarQuest Production Network receives every month a check from Amazon reflecting those who thought about clicking that link before doing their shopping. And it really adds up, helps us out considerably. And then finally, of course, if you are watching us here and going, you know what, I can do a podcast so much better than these guys, and I'm going to start my own, and I'm going to call it Catholic, the Better Catholic Weekend. And
Catholic
the Catholic what?
Catholic Weekday.
Catholic Weekday. There you go. That's five against two, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So if you want to start your own blog or your own podcast or whatever, and you need some web hosting service, we can highly recommend our partner Bluehost, bluehost.com. If you sign up with them, they give us a considerable gift for each one of you who uses them as their web hosting company. And several people here at SQPN actually use Bluehost.com. Father Roderick, his personal blog is hosted by Bluehost. Steve Nelson, Everything Esteban. Maria Johnson now uses Bluehost along with Sarah Vabulous, the Catholic Drinky. So it's a good service. They provide great value. I believe $4.95 a month. I think they're having a promotion right now. I'm not sure how long that lasts, but it's a very affordable way to have a presence on the web. And from what I understand, one-click installation of WordPress and all that kind of stuff is available with them. And if you have any troubles, their customer service is very highly rated. So check out Bluehost.com. Remember, though, go to SQPN.com first, find that Bluehost banner, and click on it. And then you'll be helping the StarQuest Production Network. Okay. Now it is time, I believe, for Pat Gohn to join us in spirit and audio.
The mix.
See, here I thought she just kind of pops in, you know, every week you start the music. She just shows up and does it and leaves.
I just call her and then she goes, okay, is it time? Is it time for me to do that? So picks of the week. And I have to thank Lynn Francisco for giving me this link for pick of the week. And have you ever heard of this lady named Lisa Handy?
Name sounds familiar. I think I might have met her before once or twice.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but I think I've heard of her. Something about the Catholic Catholic mom or something like CatholicMom.com.
Catholic parents or...
You know, yeah, well, you know what? She is a mom, and one of her offspring, one of her children, Adam Hendy, is seeking your support to create a recording, an album. What is he calling this? An album. He is a musician, and he plays many instruments. Let's see what else. He plays the guitar and the bass and the, what is this instrument? It's kind of like a recorder, but he calls it something else.
I don't know, to be honest with you. Let's see here.
Well,
I didn't have the link up. Sorry. I just pulled it up right now.
Okay. Well, I've listened to him play. Let's listen to a little bit of his video on the crowdfunding site Indiegogo. Here he's playing the guitar. That thing. And he's going to talk
I'm
to
Adam
us.
Hick.
Oh, hello, Adam.
I'm 20 years old. I'm from California, and I'm a student. But today I'd like to introduce myself to you as a musician, multi-instrumentalist, composer, and a performer of traditional Irish and Scottish music. For almost half my life, I've had the amazingly good fortune to be able to travel around the world and participate in this wonderful...
It just stopped all of a sudden. Well, you know what? If you want to watch the entire video, we have a link for you. It's on Indiegogo.com, and you can probably just do a search, but if you don't want to wait for the link in the show notes. Go to Indiegogo.com and do a search for Adam Hendy. That's H-E-N-D-E-Y. And you'll find Adam Hendy's page on Indiegogo, and it's called Adam Hendy's debut solo album. And again, he is the son, one of the sons of Lisa Hendy. And so it would be kind of cool to help him out if you have the financial resources to do so. So far, it looks like he's trying to raise $5,000. And so far, in 6 days, yeah, there are 24 days left, he has raised $857. And there are several different little perks that you can select for your amount of donation. And this is interesting. I didn't know when Indiegogo started doing this, or perhaps they've been doing this all along. But the goal is $5,000, but it's called flexible funding goal. And what that means is, you know, it used to be, or most of these sites, you know, if they don't reach their goal, then you're, you know, you don't have to give whatever you pledged to give them. But it looks like now that if you pledge, you will be giving that to Adam. So whatever amount that he does raise will be collected. So just keep that in mind.
But he's at 17%, so he's doing pretty well, actually.
Yeah.
After 6 days, but obviously, you know, lots of more help needed. So that's awesome.
And because, you know, Lisa is such a friend of SQPN and friend of all Catholics out there. She's such a wonderful woman. We tease, you know, a lot because, you know, we love her so much. She's a prolific author, and she's just doing so many things in new media in the Catholic Church.
Exactly.
And so if you want to help support her son with his dream of becoming a musician. Well, he already is a musician, but to produce this album, I think that help him with his dream. And so check out the link. Again, just do a search for Adam Hendy and Indiegogo, and you'll find his page. But the link will be in the show notes. Thank you so much, Lynn, for making us aware of that. And so that's my pick of the week.
Well, I'm stealing mine from Lynn as well.
Okay.
She posted a link to an article from the Pope. It being an altar server is call to prayer and mission, the Pope says. And actually fits in really well with our quiz, because the Pope talks about the Eucharist and about, you know, how in the Eucharist and the other sacraments, you experience the intimate closeness of Jesus, the sweetness and power of his presence. And kind of his theme is going from the prophet Isaiah, "Here I am, send me." Now we know that song, which admittedly I'm not the biggest fan of, you know, "Here I am, Lord."
"Here I am, Lord."
I'm not the biggest fan of it for reasons. Anyways, I don't need to get into that. But I love that message from Isaiah, though, where he sees the vision of who are we going to send to bring back the people of Israel? And Isaiah stands up and says, "Here I am, send me." And that's the theme the Pope went off, where he says that, you know, we're more fortunate than prophet Isaiah, because Isaiah saw God at a high throne. You couldn't reach him. He was inaccessible. But our Lord comes to us in bread and wine. You know, we hold our Lord when we receive communion. You know, we actually take him on the tongue or in our hand. And he's that intimate to us. You know, I love this image that, again, going off the prophets, God does not shake the doorpost, but rather caresses the strings of the heart. Our Lord wants to be intimate with us. He wants to be close to us. He's not, you know, again, that's that image of, I can't remember, is it Elijah, where he wanted to see God and he heard the great roaring fire, but God wasn't there. And there was the wind that shook the rocks, but God wasn't there. There's an earthquake, nothing. But then he hears a whisper and he knew God was there. And that's the intimacy that God wants to have with us, is that closeness in our heart. And we see that in the Eucharist. We receive that in the Eucharist. And the point he's making for these altar servers and for us is that the call for us as Christians is to go out and share God's mercy and the joy of our faith. You know, we want to keep it closed. We want to keep it in, as the Pope says, an underground bunker in which we flee in difficult moments. But instead, we're to go out with our faith and then to remember, recognize that the closer we come to the altar, the closer we come to receive our Lord, it should be prayer. It should be prayerful. It should lead us to prayer.
Yeah.
It should lead us to speak with our Lord in daily prayer, to be nourished by the word and body of the Lord, and then to be more able to go out and bring that to others, bring that joy and that love that we receive from our Lord to others. So really a wonderful call from our Holy Father, not just for those who are called to be altar servers, which, you know, is important in its own right. To be an altar server is a wonderful thing, but for all of us as Christians, that we need to recognize who it is we're receiving and to allow the joy from being able to receive him to lead us out and to share that joy. So we're not just a church of nope, no, 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 you can't do this, you can't do that, but that yes of our Lord.
Absolutely. And you know, sometimes, you know, that's the way we're looked at by other Christian mm-hmm. traditions and even non-faith people, that the Catholic Church is a church about negatives and no, you can't do this, can't do that, and you're going to be miserable, and that's the way your existence is supposed to be. And that's exactly. Not true at all, you know. And another thing that's so important about altar servers is that in a lot of ways, especially for boy altar servers, that's kind of a natural kind of a stepping stone to the priesthood, possibly, and perhaps for the exactly. females to religious life, which is so important in our yes. world, to have those like you, Father, who have consecrated themselves to, you know, serving the church.
Right.
Absolutely. And so
we need more.
Yeah, we do.
I hope I don't want to be the last priest in the diocese. No, I won't be.
Montana is a big place. Father yes. Corey needs some help.
Exactly.
So we need to help him by encouraging young people to consider that as a choice, a vocation. So
absolutely. Absolutely.
And we do that by praying and just, you know, uplifting people who have made that choice and that vocation, like Father mm-hmm. Corey. So thank you, Father, from all of us for making that choice and taking on your role as a serving Christ.
Thank you.
Another thing we want to remember to keep Jennifer Willits and family in your prayers, because she just lost her father. And speaking of Greg and Jennifer Willits, you may have heard of them. They are just about to celebrate the 100th episode of their rebooted podcast, The Catholics Next Door. And we'll just gregandjennifer.com is where you find that. And they were going to record this weekend. I'm not sure if they're going to be able to do that now with the family emergency, but we'll mm-hmm. see. And if you're interested in hearing a great interview that Cliff Ravenscraft did on podcast Answer Man, the latest episode has Cliff interviewing our friend Greg Willits and kind of his story, how he got into podcasting and all that kind of stuff. So very inspirational. Check that out. And thank you, every single one of you who took the time out this morning to join us in the chat room live. We do appreciate that. And Lynn, as always, thanks for all your hard work on the show notes and such. And for those listening to the podcast and downloading it, thank you so much for keeping this show alive. And I'm glad you do, because it's a lot of fun for me.
Yes, it is.
And the music
very
is
blessed feast of the Assumption to those who are watching live or who get to watch this today on or listen to it on Saturday. And we forgot to mention that earlier. So
I know I'm thinking, gosh darn it, we don't have time now to talk about the whole. Oh, well, maybe next time.
Yep.
Have a great weekend. Take care and God bless.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.